Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jan Hook from PTS. Welcome to today's special conference call on the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on PTS Telecom Group. Let me introduce today's speakers. That's Mr. Jan Tomaník, the Investment Manager of PTS Group, responsible for TMT sector, and Mr. Lukáš Kubesa, the Financial Manager of PTS Telecom Group. Following their presentation, we will open a Q&A session to give you the opportunity to ask questions that you might have for us. A presentation for today's call is available on the website of PTS Telecom Group. That's www.pts-telecom.eu in the investor section under the financial report header. And now let me hand over straight to Mr. Jan Tomaník to open the presentation.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. First of all, I would like to reiterate that today's call is not a regular update. We publish our financials on a semi-annual basis. Nonetheless, considering current special circumstances, and in order to deliver on our promises of transparency, we decided to hold this special ad hoc investor call. In the next 20 minutes or so, we are going to share with you our current view and understanding of what the impact of the pandemic has been so far, and what it may be going forward for our telecommunications industry and for PTS Telecom Group in particular. We will elaborate on where we see possible market threats and how we answer to them, but also what silver lining or opportunities might be stemming from the coronavirus outbreak for us. Admittedly, there are no winners from current situation, except perhaps for the pharma sector. But neither this is aimed to be any profit warning call. We do not feel it necessary to warn you on anything. Rather the other way around, we would like to reassure you through this communication that the impact on the telecommunications sector is mild and manageable. PTS Telecom Group business is uninterrupted and solidly performing, including from the financial point of view. And if there are any possible specific challenges ahead of us, these are not expected to be material from the perspective of our business as a whole. We are ready to face them and have the mitigants available. We have summarized the key messages of today's update on slide 3. First, our group's performance in the first quarter has been sound. As per the unaudited financials, EBITDA grew by 6% year-over-year in the first quarter of 2020, despite the second half of March already being affected by the emergency regimes declared in our countries of presence. We acquired sufficient 5G spectrum bandwidth in Hungary in 700 MHz and 3.6 GHz bands. And we stand behind our financial policy. Second, we can already demonstrate that the impact of the pandemic has so far been fairly mild from public health perspective in our region, which specifically holds true for some comparatively more affected countries in Western Europe. Telco is privileged that it is an essential infrastructure for functioning of modern society, which even more proved so when measures aimed at containing the pandemic had been implemented. Although the pass-through into revenues is not always straightforward, the demand for telecommunication services, as measured by mobile voice and data traffic, actually grew significantly in March and April. I have details for you on my following slide. It well differentiates telco from any other sectors where demand vanished or significantly dropped, principally overnight. Our operations remained uninterrupted across our footprint, including our point of sales, with just de minimis exceptions. Third, uncertainty in the medium term admittedly increases since one can just guess what the evolution of the pandemic will be. Whether it is in the best case principally over, or whether there is a second wave triggered by the pending loosening of the governmental restrictions, or simply by the seasonality. We will have to cope with imminent threats, such as, for instance, the impact of traveling restrictions on the international roaming revenues and costs, as well as with those that will materialize rather in the medium term, which are linked to probably sluggish macroeconomic momentum in the aftermath of the economic restrictions. While the former is fairly immaterial contributor to our earnings due to the EU roaming regulation, the lower purchasing power of individuals and businesses, particularly from the directly affected and cyclical sectors, may indeed have a spillover effect into telecommunications sector in the medium term as well. However, we see some silver lining in the current situation as well. The labor market, particularly for the highly qualified workforce, were overheating in 2018 and 2019 in our region, which will cease. And we see room for rationalization in several cost and capex categories, also thanks to the lessons learned during past couple of weeks of quarantines, curfews, or other governmental stay-at-home ordinances. And last but definitely not least, we continue monitoring the situation very closely and have set of measures prepared to be implemented, if required, to protect our business continuity and, above all, the health and safety of our employees and customers. On the next several slides, I will take the liberty of summarizing the pandemic evolution in our countries of operation. Our little analysis is basically prepared on publicly available data, but I hope that such summary will be handy for your overall assessment of the situation anyway. The two maps on the slide 4 depict that Central and Eastern Europe, including our countries of presence, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, Bulgaria, Serbia, and Montenegro, have so far scored better in terms of key epidemic indicators. First, the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases, and second, the deaths caused by it, both on per capita basis. The impact was milder. National healthcare systems have not been congested. After natural initial constraints, the local authorities more or less managed to supply frontline staff and subsequently also the broader society with personal protection equipment and COVID tests. Benefiting from its global reach, PPF Group, as a parent of PPF Telecom Group, managed to source face masks, respirators and other personal protection equipment in the volumes that not only covered the needs of its investee companies' operations, but could be donated to the frontline healthcare staff in big quantities as our CSR initiative. We can only guess what contributed to such development. As we summarized on slide 5, similarly, strict restrictions were imposed across our footprint with few variations. The scope of closedowns was in the end comparable to those in the Western Europe. But what may be the distinguishing factor to some extent was the speed of adoption of the restriction by at least one or two critical weeks earlier than in the Western Europe. An example being the mandatory wearing of face masks in all public places. While it was timely implemented in the Czech Republic, many other countries waited with that for the good reason of saving all available PPE for the healthcare system. Indeed, professional FFP2 and FFP3 grade respirators were not available to broad public in the Czech Republic either. But even the provisional homemade face covers most commonly worn in the Czech Republic have probably helped. As a positive consequence of the early imposition of the restrictions, we have now got to the phased relaxation of the key restrictions from the initial easing in the late April until principally all restrictions removed by the end of May, at least as per current official governmental plans. Indeed, some limitations may prevail for longer, such as prohibition of mass people gatherings or cross-border travel for leisure purposes, meaning the international tourism. But those are expected to have significantly lower direct impact on the economy than the lockdowns in the second half of March and during April. My next slide plots the official epidemic curves in our countries of presence and how the pandemic is hopefully losing steam including how the initial uncontrolled community spreading had been tamed fairly quickly. When comparing the statistics as of May 4th across our footprint on the slide 7, I would draw a few key observations. The Czech Republic suffered from relatively more confirmed COVID cases, possibly explainable by the combination of broader testing and a lower share of undetected cases, and higher number of initial imports, mostly from skiing holidays in northern Italy. Serbia was more affected from the perspective of confirmed cases, and Hungary, unfortunately, in the terms of mortality. Starting from the slide 8, I would be more specific and focus on PPF Telecom Group. First and foremost, how our operations was affected in the past 2 months by business functions. Our franchises were principally left open alongside food stores, pharmacies and drug stores, with all other retail operations shut down, which just confirms the critical nature of telco infrastructure. We naturally saw dropping footfall in our branch networks and had to adjust the opening hours in some countries, but our distribution is fully omnichannel, and we also implemented measures aimed at compensating dropping physical transaction by online self-care channels and by our call centers, with call center agents actually working from home office, and we even redeployed less occupied shop assistants to these virtual call centers. Our networks had to cope with increased mobile data and voice traffic due to social distancing and home working. We have been rigorously monitoring the performance and stability of our networks, and I can happily confirm that we faced neither material outages nor material degradation of service quality, even under that increased load. Our collection methods admittedly vary across our footprint, with unaffected online payment methods broadly adopted in the Czech Republic and Slovakia, but declining as we moved southeastwards, that is the highest share of physical payments in Bulgaria. Bearing that in mind, we selectively extended due date of the invoices, but also used that unique opportunity to promote efficient online payments, even in the still more cash-based South Eastern European economies. Hoping that you will find it interesting just as we do, please take a look on the network traffic development year to date compared to last year. As you can see on slide 9, we witnessed a spike in voice traffic clearly linked to anti-COVID measures with the magnitude that was comparable across our operations. Thanks to the fact that our mobile networks are always dimensioned with sufficient buffer, we channeled all that traffic with just minor quick fixes, for instance, in the interconnector line capacities to other operators in a given country. Since the initial peak in mid-March, the voice traffic surplus has been gradually narrowing, mirroring the phased loosening of the restrictions to date. Likewise, in the mobile data traffic on slide 10, there is a visible jump. Since the difference from voice, which is principally saturated and had been flat year over year until February, is a strong secular growth in data consumption. And that one of COVID-related mobile data traffic increase turned out to be relatively small compared to trend-driven data volume increment that our networks have to handle anyway, particularly in the Czech Republic caused by the unlimited data tariffs introduction last summer. I will now ask Lukáš Kubeta, the financial manager, to give you more insight on the PPF Telecom Group's performance.
Good morning. So let me start by briefly commenting our financial performance in Q1. All major financial KPIs, that is service revenue, EBITDA, CAPEX and cash flows, remain broadly in line with our plans prepared before COVID-19 outbreak. The demand for our services remains robust. Obviously, the lockdown has impacted the footfall in our stores across all countries. So the gross adds are temporarily affected. but we are seeing day-to-day improving over last weeks. In Hungary and Czech Republic in last days, already almost reaching pre-COVID levels. In line with decrease of gross adds, churn decrease as well, so overall our customer base remained relatively unaffected. We registered increased demand for fixed wireless broadband, as people had to remain under quarantine and many had to start working from home. Equally, the demand for Cetin's fixed broadband in Czechia remained strong. Cetin connection continued growing, following the trends from last year. Increased voice traffic has favorable impact on our revenue and partially compensated lower growth adds. Lower footfall and lower growth adds impacted our hardware revenues, lower volume of mobile phone sold. But handsets sold to customers are usually subsidized to attract new customers, upsell current ones, so decrease in handset sales means short-term positive impact to our profitability and cash flows. Core service revenue from subscription and traffic grew year over year more than 4% in Q1 compared to the Q1 in 2019. The group consolidated EBITDA grew 6% year over year in first quarter, again in line with our original expectations. OPEX remains under close management control in all segments. Since the beginning of March, we have already implemented freeze of salaries and new hirings, optimization of Marcom expenses, and looking more for how to reduce other OPEX items. Based on preliminary numbers from April, April ended as well in line with our pre-COVID plans. CAPEX is in line with our original plans. We are reevaluating major projects if original assumption has not changed and if the projects have still positive business cases. We prioritize the projects and we are prepared to postpone or cancel some of them if required to protect group's cash flows without impacting the group's operation or future prospects. So far, we did not postpone or cancel any major project planned for this and following years as a consequence of current situation. We have acquired in March 5G frequencies in Hungary in 5G frequency auction for approximately 100 million euro in price levels expected in our plans. Our cash collection remained broadly in line with our expectation. We do not see any material impact to the payment morale of our customer base. As Jan explained, in countries like Serbia, Bulgaria, where physical payment methods predominate, we successfully managed to encourage our customers to use online payment methods during the lockdown. We believe that this is a benefit that will stay with us even after the pandemic is over. Physical payment channels are the most expensive ones, so we can have opportunity to save some cost here. We monitor the bill collection related KPIs daily across the group and remain focused on managing the collection. Currently, we don't see any impact to our bad debts. We have implemented stricter credit control over new postpaid contracts, installment plans, and hardware subsidies to limit potential bad debts in the future. Special attention is to B2B clients from the sectors most affected by the current situation, like restaurants, hotels, transportation. Our cash position remains strong. It is actually increased slightly compared to the year, compared to the end of year 2019, as we have positive cash inflows in Q1 over 100 million euro. We have sufficient cash for expected spectrum auctions in the rest of 2020 and 21, meaning Czech Republic, Slovakia, and renewal in Hungary, and for any unexpected situation which may come. Our indebtedness in the first quarter remained unchanged. In April, we raised a new bank loan at the local level in Hungary to finance the acquisition of 5G spectrum. We don't have any debts maturing in the second or third quarter this year. In Q4, O2 debts will be maturing, but we don't directly influence O2. we trust that there will be no difficulties refinancing this debt, considering the position of O2 as a blue chip company in Czech Republic and current low indebtedness below one times of its EBITDA. Our consolidated net leverage at the end of Q1 was 2.4 multiple of last 12 months of EBITDA, improving from 2.5 as of December 2019. Our financial policy remained unchanged. As you can see, we have a sufficient headroom between our current net leverage and our target to remain below 3.2 multiple of EBITDA on consolidated basis. So let me go to the slide 12. As we mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, just by maintaining business continuity, we are supporting the economy and the society, helping them to continue functioning. In our support of the communities, we go further than that. Across all our markets, we immediately started helping the communities by a range of services provided for free or with a symbolic price only. In all countries, we supported the clients with extra allowances of free data to help them coping in the situation of lockdown with their working from home and tuition of children at home. For the period of lockdown, we provide free access to the range of TV channels, e-books, online learning channels for homeschooling. We facilitated broadcasting of important government emergency messages to all our clients for free. We established free helplines to support facilities. Where relevant, we also extended payment terms for elderly and disabled people and provided equipment for online schooling to the most disadvantaged pupils and students. Besides helping the communities in the area of telecommunication, which is our core competence, we also provided assistance to the society through donations of protective equipment for healthcare workers and vulnerable families. Donation of vital medical equipment for hospitals, we raised money for health services. In Czech Republic, where the group is headquartered, the help was worth 7.5 million euro in total, and it has been provided through the parent corporation, the PPF Group. In Hungary, Bulgaria, Serbia and Montenegro, the local Telenor branded companies made the donations accompanied by a range of voluntary activities of our employees. As we have said on the number of occasions, health and safety of our employees and our customers remains a priority for PPF Telecom Group. We are prepared to protect it, and across the whole PPF Group, we regard helping others as a part of our human as well as corporate responsibility. And this is all from me today. Thank you, and I'm hand over to Jan again.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention. This is the end of the presentation we had ready for you today, and we are now ready to take your questions. Operator, we are ready to take the first question.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. And when preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. If you're joining online, you can register a question with the flag icon. Our first question comes from Dilawar Ferezi of Loomis Sayles. Dilawar, please go ahead.
Hi guys, thanks very much for the updates, very helpful and appreciated. Just a quick question on the cost of the spectrum. I'm assuming that transaction took place in April, so the leverage numbers are before the spectrum transaction. And the second question is, the second question is, on do you have any updates on the regulatory issue that we've discussed in previous calls?
Okay, so let me answer the first question. Yes, you are right. The leverage has been affected not in March, but in April. And as I said, the total amount we have spent for the spectrum was 100 million euro. So, and we raised the debt in the same amount to fully cover this investment.
And to your second question, with respect to the European Commission investigation into our network sharing arrangements with T-Mobile in Czech Republic. We do not actually have a specific update beyond what we shared with you on our full year results call. The responses to the statements of objections were submitted by TPF Telecom Group in time. We repeated similar response on behalf of PPF Group, apparent to PPF Telecom Group, which was in the meantime questioned by European Commission on principally the same. And we haven't heard a feedback, neither acceptance nor denial to our defense arguments by the European Commission yet. To be honest, I would attribute that delay in European Commission's response also partly to the Home Office work that was applied in Brussels as well, which might have slowed down their response time and admittedly might have made them reprioritize the issues. And that is principally one of the hopefully positive impacts of the coronavirus crisis for us. In current situation, which was previously unimaginable, I can just say that I would consider more than reasonable if European Commission principally reprioritized and focused on the matters that truly matter to the society and let us enjoy the benefits of the sharing, specifically the faster and more efficient deployment of new generations of technologies, which the societies would directly benefit from, as opposed to concentrating on eliminations of the otherwise reasonable and efficient sharing of mobile network infrastructure.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Our next question comes from Rahul Bhatt of JP Morgan. Rahul, please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the call. I just had a couple of questions. Firstly, on the loan that you took in Hungary to finance the spectrum costs, can you confirm on which level that was taken, and was it taken at the Hungarian OpCo level or at the HoldCo level, at PPF HoldCo level, and also what the maturity was of that loan? And then also regarding, you know, the 10-day to 15 days payment delays that you're giving to some of your customers, the holiday period, could you kind of give any color on what kind of working capital impact do you expect from that this year? And lastly, you said on the other spectrum auctions that you're expecting, you know, Slovakia, etc., could you give any guidance on how much you expect to spend on that in 2020 and probably even in 2021? Thank you.
Okay, so I will start with the question to the Hungarian spectrum financing. Yeah, it was raised at local OPCO level, so it was not raised on any HoldCo level. The maturity of this loan is 5 years, and it's equally linearly amortized over these 5 years. So this was hopefully answer to your first question. The second question regarding working capital impact, we don't see any significant impact to our working capital from our current situation. First, it's decrease of subsidies volumes because of lower handset sold. We see that there is no financing for this handset needed, so our receivables to the customers decreased compared to planned level. In terms of payables, we agreed with the major vendors to prolong the payment terms if needed to protect our working capital balance. On the inventory side, as the handset sales decreased, we immediately lowered our supplies from the vendors. So inventory levels are in the range according to our expectation, and we are keeping sufficient but not over inventory levels in our footprint. Just one thing to add to the Hungarian financing, just to be clear, this loan is unsecured and unguaranteed financing. And I think the last question was regarding the upcoming spectrum auctions. We are not providing any guidance numbers regarding this, but I will hand over to Jan to answer you with the current status of the spectrum auctions.
So what we have seen in Slovakia is publishing of the auction rules, including the reserve prices for the critical components of the offered spectrum, which consists of 700 megahertz band, a small piece of yet unutilized 900 megahertz band, remaining unutilized 1.8 gigahertz band. And those auction reserve prices are in line with what we generally expected. What will be crucial with respect to Slovakian auction is to what extent current small fourth mobile operator called Štyřka participates in the auction and to what spectrum it bids. What we can say to it is that there are significant down payments required to participate in the auction, which cannot be covered by just bank guarantees, which is generally supportive for us. Second, we have analyzed the financials of our small Ford competitor, and they have been consistently burning money and being loss-making even on EBITDA level since the launch of their operations. So additional investments into 5G spectrum from our point of view should not make business sense for the owners of that small challenger. And last, they heavily rely on the supply of post office stores where they principally offer and sell majority of their services. Given the lockdowns and the restrictions, we believe that those operations and sales force must have been significantly affected in the past couple of months. And what I consider a general positive factor is the fact that established operators which have loyal subscriber base, long-term relationships with its customers, and do not only rely on constantly acquiring new customers with cheap propositions and generally churning the customers, should be affected less by the current situation.
Understood. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that's star followed by one or the flag icon to register any further questions. We have no further questions on the line, so I'll hand back to Jan.
This is Jan Hook again. Thank you all for attending today's call. If you still have any follow-up questions, you are welcome to contact our investor relations. We will be happy to oblige. And now, on behalf of the company, I would like to terminate today's call. Thank you. Goodbye.